we're going through some of the core values that we've been talking about in our vision team, what we think are really important to us as a church. And community in action is one of them. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. There's kind of three main things that I want to talk about. So the first one is, as followers of Christ, we all have something to offer to everyone. And that should motivate us to do something. That being church, which is what we are, is an active thing that we should be living out every day. And thirdly, that we don't have to do this alone. We're in it together as a family. So I've kind of retitled this, Ordinary People with an Extraordinary God. And I might tell you a bit more about that as I go along. But first of all, I've got a little video that I would like us to watch for a couple of minutes.
It's fine, we can hear it now.
Some people think you have to be really loud and yelling a lot. Playing with a bullhorn, shouting. Hey, you! Yeah, you! Do it my way, right now! Mm-hmm. Other people choose to just make fun of everything. That's dumb, that's dumb, everyone's dumb. You can make fun of stuff, that's cooler to make stuff. Some people think changing the world can only be done by the smartest person in the world. Just put them in a room, let them figure it out. The solution of world hunger? Food. So easy. Some people see the bad in the world and they just decide to ignore it. But that won't help anything. Some people think you have to be really famous and super cool. In fact, lots of people think you have to be really powerful to make a difference, like being mayor, or senator, or president. But the truth is, a title doesn't make you more important. The world is changed by you. It's one person filled with love, and they just have to live it out so they do something awesome. Then that person is filled with love, and they do something awesome. It just goes on and on and on and on. And the next thing you know, everything's awesome. Some people think it's impossible to change the world.
It's impossible to change the world.
Well, you can see why they could think that. Living in a world with kids who are hungry, people who are homeless, families who aren't happy. I'm just trying to figure it out like everybody else, man. I do know this world. The next time you feel overwhelmed or totally alone, remember this. Things don't have to be the way they are. The world is changed by ordinary people. Little people living out big love. And that's what gives the world a reason to dance.
Okay. It goes on, but we'll leave it there. Okay, that video's a bit of fun. But actually, I think it's quite poignant to what God wants to say to us this morning as a church. I really love this kid's simplicity, his view of the world and his optimism, and I think we can learn something from that. There's something that he said in there about changing the world through ordinary people. He said it's just done by little people living out big love, and this I think is what God wants from us. It's how he moves. He chooses to use ordinary people like you and me to demonstrate his big love. And that's pretty amazing. So, I'm going to start by trying to unpack this a little bit more. I would like to read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I'm going to read it from the Message version. Okay. It says, if you only look at us, you might well miss this brightness. But we carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralised. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorised, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Okay. So, the church is made up of ordinary people, like you, Maddie, and you, Charlie, and you, Justin, and me. Okay, and in this verse here, Paul is talking about clay pots. And I have a clay pot.
Ooh, nice clay pot.
This was Sam's. I nicked it from his bedroom, which we were bought when he was first born. It doesn't actually have very much in it. So, this is us. Imagine this is you. This is your life. You're a clay pot. I'm going to leave it there to look at. Okay. And I don't know if any of you have seen these before, but they come in like millions of different colours and patterns and shapes. Well, I guess they're pretty similar shape, but they're all different sizes and just like us. We're here as individuals. We come with our own experiences and personalities and shapes and quirks. But God has shaped us this way. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we get a deposit of him in our lives. So it says here in this, in 2 Corinthians, it says, Paul describes it as treasure. Okay, so here's my treasure. When we choose to follow Jesus, we get a deposit of him in our lives. And he's the treasure. Okay? And there are plenty of other communities around the world that are doing good things that don't necessarily have this treasure in their lives. And that's what makes us different. We have this treasure. So when I was thinking about talking this morning, I was thinking, what is it that makes us different from other people? Like there's other groups that come and use this community centre here that are probably doing a lot of good for society. But so what makes us any different from them? And it's this treasure. It's the fact that we have Jesus, we have God's big love inside us, okay? And that's what should call us to action, to do something with our lives.
Yes.
It should be more than just common decency and goodwill. It's Jesus that makes a difference, because we've experienced him and his power in our own lives, and therefore that should motivate us to go out and show that to other people. Another reason we should do it is because this treasure that we have is powerful. Paul talks about, well, in this version he says God's incomparable power that is with us. In some versions it says all-surpassing power. Now, when I was planning this, I thought, I'll do a bit of looking up, find out what this actually means, and I discovered that the word that is used for power in the Greek is dunamis. I have no idea if I pronounced that right. It says it means force, specifically miraculous power or mighty work and strength. It almost always points to new and higher forces that have entered and are working in our lower world, and it is power in action. And it is the term from which we derive our English word dynamite, which I thought was pretty cool because dynamite is explosive and it does things. Okay.
makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
It does make a bit of a difference. So we are so rich to have this extraordinary treasure, this powerful treasure, inside the ordinariness of our lives.
Yeah.
It's that explosive power that we carry with us everywhere we go. Whatever we're doing, it's God in us, and it's God beyond us, and it's God despite of us and our brokenness. And verse 7 says that our clay pots, our lives, are there to demonstrate something to demonstrate God's incomparable power. So what does the word demonstrate mean? It means to clearly show the existence or truth of something by giving proof or evidence. So our ordinary lives are there to give proof, to give evidence of God's power and treasure within us. And actually it talks about the fact that it's there to highlight God because of the difference of our weakness and his the opposite of that. So it says, let me just try and find it. It says that's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with ours. So basically, our pots are made of clay and we're ordinary and fragile, and that shows even more the amazingness of Jesus and who he is. It's like a magnifying glass. And it reveals God's greatness even more. The weaker we are, you know, he has more opportunity to work and use us. And that's really encouraging because it means it's okay to be human. Yeah. God doesn't want us to be perfect, but he wants to take him with that ordinary humanness, and that allows him chance to work and reveal himself through us.
Right.
So like I've said already, what we have should motivate us to do something. God hasn't given us his love to keep for ourselves. Church should be more than a place that we just come to and hang out and sing some nice songs and drink coffee. Because, you know, we could go to Costa to do that, or go to a good...
Try to
take
any Costa.
Take that gear. it should be more than that. Church is more than that. And I found a good quote of a book I've just started reading. And it says this. This is what it means to be church. Not to be perfect or better than our neighbours. It means that the good news of God's love actually lives inside us and is available to build up, to restore, to heal and transform the world around us. This is the treasure, the hidden pearl of great price that we seek before anything else. It's the beauty of the kingdom and the wonder of its king that compels us. Yes. And I thought that really summed it up well.
Yeah.
So... it's Jesus that should move us and compel us and motivate us. And it's our experience of him in our own lives that should cause us to want to take it to other people. It's his big love that should motivate us to want to bring change to the world. Because Jesus changes things.
Yes.
And we know that. I know that.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my own life. He brings transformation. He brings hope.
Yeah.
He makes new things out of the old, and he fixes broken things, and there are a lot of broken things in the world. But he's fixing. So, and he chooses to use us, these like ordinary clay pots, to show that and to demonstrate that and to bear witness to the fact that Jesus changes things and he makes things new. So we have something to offer. Something that's powerful, something that changes things. The next thing I said I wanted to talk about was how church is an active thing. Okay, so that this motivation, it's a doing thing. Church is, I've put here, church is a verb. It's a doing word. It's not passive. We shouldn't just come and receive. But being part of church requires an action in response to something that God did. God, like it says, doesn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Yes.
He gave himself to enter into our world and demonstrate his big love. And then when Jesus came and lived his life, he got moving. He actively got out there and did stuff. Like he was... you know, him and the, like, kind of the first disciples, they didn't just gather and have nice meetings. You know, they went out into the world and they were doing things and they were taking God's love to other people. There's a phrase, isn't there? I don't know if you've heard it, that Jesus is... Jesus was God with skin on. He lived and breathed. All these things that he did were active. He lived and breathed. He loved. He sent. He went. He travelled to so many different places. He challenged people. He called people. He called his disciples to follow him. He served others. He spoke God's word. He healed people. He prayed for people. He prayed for the sick. He taught people. He saved people. He raised people. Okay? But he was a carpenter. Like, that's amazing. He was doing an ordinary job. You know, that was what he did for 30 years before he started his ministry. That's something quite ordinary. But he was also extraordinary. Okay? He was carrying out God's extraordinary heart. And then he invited us to join him with him in this. Okay, Matthew 28:16 says, he said to his disciples, go and make disciples. And that's what he says to us, go and make disciples. Okay, so that means doing something. It doesn't mean sitting. It means go, like go. Go and live your lives and show me to other people. And I thought the interesting thing about this whole clay pot analogy is that you can't get the money out of this unless you smash it. I would like to smash it, but it's Sam's, so I won't. Shout at me. But I thought that was really quite poignant. You actually got to do something, like to get to the treasure. Okay. So how should we do that then? Because that kind of seems a bit of a daunting thing sometimes. Like, we were praying this morning for our town and so much that needs to change and happen. But like the kid said in the video, it's just little people living out big love. And that's how we can do it. Before my granddad passed away about a year ago, just a bit more than that. Before he died, he wrote this book, which is where I've actually nicked the title from. It's called Two Ordinary People with an Extraordinary God. And basically, it's just the story of his and my nan's life and how they were transformed by Jesus. But they really recognised the treasure that God had given them in their lives, and they weren't afraid to take that wherever they went and share it with people. And it's a real challenge to me, because I saw my grandma through his life, and he was not afraid to talk about Jesus with people, and nor is my nan. I just think that's amazing, because we get so caught up in what others might think of us, or I don't know, just our reputations, I guess. And he wasn't scared to speak out the name of Jesus to people and tell people that God loved them. So for me, they were a real example of ordinary clay pots that recognised the treasure of Jesus and took him in whatever they did and to wherever they went. And I think that God wants to just remind us this morning that he wants us to have an everyday mission mentality. Yeah. Like, every day we are living out God's big love. How can we take it to the people that we are encountering?
Yes.
How are we verbalising God's love? How do we make him visible to other people? So I want you to just think for a minute, what kind of week have you got coming up, or what kind of week have you just had? Who would you encounter in your routine on a day-to-day basis? And how are you showing God's big love to those people? Because our relationship with Jesus should be overflowing into everything that we do. His big love is in you when you're driving down the M1, when you're taking a run around Sidwell Reservoir. His big love is with you when you walk past the homeless man on Abington Street. It's with you when the Amazon delivery man knocks on your door. He's with you when you're walking the dog. He's with you when you start your new job. He's with you when you walk past that neighbour that you walk past every day at 8:15. He's with you when you're sitting in the doctor's surgery, or when your friend calls to tell you her struggles. He's with you when you lose your job. He's with you when a family member gets diagnosed with an illness. He's with you when someone approaches you in the street and asks for help. He's with you when your best friend lets you down. He's with you when your account goes into debit. He is with you. You carry his big love inside the ordinary clay pot of your life. His big love is present with you in every moment of every day, and it's that that can change how these moments play out. You've got a choice to make in these moments as to how you respond when you encounter different people and different situations. Sometimes the choice might require a bit of sacrifice. It might take a little bit of time that you don't think you have, or it might mean that you've got to step out of your comfort zone a little bit or put aside your own insecurities. And that's not always the easy option. But Jesus did say that we must deny ourselves daily. So that's from Luke 9:23. Choosing to follow Jesus in these moments, doing what he would have done, choosing is an active thing and it's an intentional decision. And Jesus asks every day again and again and again that we would perhaps put aside our preferences or agendas and follow him to where he is going or what he might be doing. It might be a bit of a sacrifice, but it won't be boring.
Yeah.
And he won't let you down. So I want to encourage you to experience God in the everyday ordinariness of your life and try and let him overflow into every area. When you walk into the shops, have a conversation with him in your head, or, I don't know, like, smile at the person that walks past you and pray for them. I don't know, like, in your head, you don't even necessarily have to do it out loud. Be alert to what's going on around you. Ask God how you could help, I don't know, your friend or the need that they have. Is there anyone else in church who could maybe help them with their problem or whatever it is that they're experiencing? Try and be practical. Invite people into your homes. So there's a challenge, like, here, really, about who we're including in our lives. Are we just busy just getting on with our own routine, or are we inviting other people into our lives? Because we heard a couple of weeks ago when Mark was preaching on Levi that Jesus included everyone. He included the people that most people would exclude. I believe that God wants us to be a people who welcome in, like the prodigals, people who others don't accept. Because we've got something to offer other people. We've got hope. We've got treasure that he's deposited into our hearts. And God wants to use you, every one of us here, to help build his church. And I thought it was really interesting. I was reminded of, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that just really stood out to me, because Jesus says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So it's that's a promise, that's a guarantee. So if we choose to follow Jesus, he will make us fishers of men. Like, there will be fruit from it. But we have to actually follow him and go to those places that he would be going to, and step out a little bit, maybe, in what we're doing. Okay, so we've got treasure that we carry inside our ordinary lives. It has power to change things. It requires a response or an action on our part. But what's really encouraging is that we don't have to do it on our own. We're here as church. Give you a, like, I don't know, I guess me personally, I like the quiet life. I like to be at home, in home. I like to shut out the world. And I have quite a tendency to hibernate from about September to April. I'm a bit of an introvert and I find social interaction quite difficult and draining. So I like my own little world. But when I was 5, I chose to follow Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to extend my world outside of myself. And that's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. And there's so much that's been in the news recently about loneliness and isolation. And actually, God wants to do something about that, because he loves family. That's his heart, to put people in family. Even when he created man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. He made someone to walk through life with him. He puts people together into family, and that's what we are. We're, I guess, more than a community. Like, we're more than a community. We are family as God's people. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. Family should show unconditional love, support in struggle through thick and thin. It should nurture and encourage and allow room for mistakes and offer forgiveness and grace. It should be a place of safety and freedom. And this might not be our experience of family, but it's what God invites us into when we choose to follow him. So we might come to Jesus as individuals, but we come together as a family. We're God's church, we're the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head. When you said yes to Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus, it's an action, it's an intentional choice. And then Jesus promises to do the rest. He will make you fishers of men. He promises it. He promises to build his church through you and you and you and me. So we need to live intentional lives and choose to follow him every day. And I just think it's really amazing that actually we might feel like we're just little people. What difference can we make? But we have, like we were singing about it earlier, weren't we? We have the same power that raised Christ from the grave living inside of us. So actually our lives can be, we can make a difference. we can bring in, we can offer hope and bring in transformation to people's lives who, you know, who have perhaps given up or don't have any hope. And actually, it's, we shouldn't worry, because it isn't us who has to do the changing, it's God who does it through us, you know. Yeah. And that's really freeing. So I just want to say to you this morning, don't disqualify yourself, because God has invested in you. He's chosen to partner with you, with each one of us here. He's deposited his big love inside our hearts, and then it's up to us to take it to other people. We are ordinary, but we have an extraordinary God inside us. We carry it everywhere. It's powerful, like dynamite. It changes things. Even in our weakness and incapability, God's power can work, and it works even more in those times. It's another little quote from this book that I'm reading. It says, our nation is crying out for hope. Cities are in desperate need of a God who genuinely... Of God. Sorry, let me start that again. Our nation is crying out for hope. Cities are in desperate need of people, of a people of God who genuinely know Christ, who live out and reflect his love. What's needed are not more Christians, but Christ followers. There's real authority there, and a freedom that will break through the sickness and suffering and despair of the most impossible situations. So I just want to finish there, really, and just leave us with a little challenge. So I feel God wants to... I just feel like he's calling us up. And I feel that he wants to challenge us to say this morning, like, that he wants our whole lives. He doesn't just want Sunday morning you. He wants your life laid down. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, talking about Jesus, it says, he who for the joy set before him laid down his life. Jesus gave everything for you. So what will you give for him?